Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6, verse 1. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian. 7 years. Verse number 6. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. Verse 10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. So what we see here in chapter 6 is a cycle of disobedience. A cycle of disobedience. We start in verse number 1, and what do we see? They did evil. Now what do we see in verse number 6? They were greatly impoverished. Guys, God's way works. And if we try to live any other way, what we're going to find is disappointment and failure. God's way works. We need, right now, if you are not born again, right now, you could reach out to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died for me. And I put my faith in you and ask you to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give myself to you. Give your life to God. Surrender yourself to God. Let him save your soul and change your life. Get in the Word. Understand his will. He'll fill you with his Spirit. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. And then you'll know right from wrong. Of course, read the Bible. Submit to teaching and learn right from wrong. And live right. Live God's way. The truth is, most of us know right from wrong. Every once in a while, we stumble across something in the Bible and say, well, I didn't know that was a sin. But most of the time, by our upbringing, we know right from wrong. And when we choose to not serve God, to not walk with God, we're going to be disappointed. We're going to find failure. God loves us. God loves you. And he has no joy in our suffering. But it reminds me of the old cartoon of the man who prayed, God, smite my worst enemy. And in the next frame, lightning strikes down from heaven and hits him. Because I'll tell you that your number one enemy is not the devil. Your number one enemy is not your parents or your children or your neighbor or your boss or the deacons or the preacher or your wife or your husband. Our number one problem is us. Our pride, our lack of discipline, our laziness, our apathy. And so those are the things that get us into a point where we feel like failures. God will save us. Isn't God good? God will deliver us. But we could avoid so much if we just stay out of trouble ourselves. If we just make the right choices. If we surround ourselves with the right people. We need to make those decisions. Yes, God will save us. Yes, God will deliver us. But if we walk with him and seek him daily and live by the word, we can avoid a lot of that stress. By the way, she's not leaving because she doesn't like the preaching. She got to go to work. I didn't want a rumor to get started. All right. I was surprised to see her because I knew she had to work today. Verse number 11. And there came an angel of the Lord, sat under an oak which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So he was afraid, wasn't he? He was hiding what he was doing. I don't want you to raise your hand, but how many of you ever hid what you were doing? Because you didn't want somebody to know. Maybe you didn't want the boss to know, or maybe you didn't want your spouse to know, or maybe you didn't want the kids to know something, but you did something in secret because you didn't want anybody to find out. Maybe it was a surprise. I'm not saying a negative way. But here's Gideon just trying to provide for his family. But what he knew is that if they found it, they would take it. At least they would take more than their share, right? Overtaxed, overburdened. And so he did it in secret. Now, that was good that he was doing it, but he was hiding. Verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Hiding behind the threshing floor, the wine press. Here you are hiding, and God says you're a mighty man of valor. Isn't that incredible? God saw something in Gideon that Gideon didn't see in himself. God saw that Gideon was able, but Gideon didn't see it. Gideon felt it best to lay his talents to the side and to hide. Remember, we started off by saying they were disobedient to God. It led to years of suffering, and finally it says they were impoverished in verse 6. And then in verse 10, or verse 6, they cried unto the Lord, Lord, help us. And God said, you did this and you knew better. You got yourself in this predicament. And then verse 11, God provides a solution. He pulls out a guy named Gideon, a mighty man of valor. And he says, God is with you. Here's what I want you to understand this morning. We all have challenges in our lives. No matter how good it looks on Sunday morning, we all have challenges. No matter how good it looks on social media, we all have challenges. I don't know everything you're going through. You don't know everything I'm going through. Even if we sat down and had counseling, there would be things you wouldn't tell me. I know from experience. There's still things that we deal with quietly and privately and wonder how we're going to get through it. But let me reassure you, you have survived every day so far. And you have in you the ability to face the current struggle, the current challenge. It is in you. But my plea is that you won't do it alone. Let God help you. Let God strengthen you. Let God bring you to it. Let God bring you through it. And isn't God good that He gave us a church? Isn't God good that He surrounded us with people who will love us, who will come to us, who will encourage us, who will help us when we need it? But God said to Gideon, it's already in you, Gideon. You can do this. The Lord is with you. God has enabled you. But what did he lack? He lacked confidence. He lacked the confidence to do what was needed. Now, right now, he doesn't know what's needed. Right now, he's over here hiding, trying to feed his family. Just going about his daily business. Isn't that what we're all doing? We're just all going about our daily business, trying to take care of business, trying to take care of our family, trying to take care of ourselves. And then God comes along and says, I've got something for you to do. I've got something, and I want you to know something. It's something big, and it might scare you, and you might not think you can, but I'm telling you right now, you can. You might not think, you say, well, I've never done it before. God said, that's okay, I'm going with you. The things that we face in life, you know, they have this phrase. People say, well, God won't give us more than we can handle. How are we going to get stronger if we never have more than we can handle? We've got to test the limits. We've got to have challenges in our lives. And we've got to look at things sometimes that are bigger than we are and say, I'm not going to cower in fear. I'm not going to run away from it. We had our banquet the other night. We always have a theme. This theme was Wizard of Oz. Doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? Think about this, though. The story is of a girl who didn't like her circumstances and decided she would run away from them. And what she found in her desire to get away, and I've seen the movie and I know how it works, but what she found out there were challenges bigger than she ever imagined. Obstacles and struggles that she didn't know she could survive. Only to get to the point where she longed for the life that she didn't want a day ago. Where she wanted to go back to what she was running away from. And then finally to find out that no one could do it for her. She had to do it herself. We have, right, I think it was the Glinda that says at the end, it's been within you all along to go back. And she says, there's no place like home, and then she's back. Guys, the reality, I know it's not very spiritual, but there's a spiritual lesson in it. Most of those movies, especially those old movies, had a moral lesson in them. And when it comes to the life that we have, what's the lesson? Appreciate what we've got. I'm sure if we were to look at those Bibles back there and the languages on those Bibles, they're going to places we don't want to live because we're so blessed. Man, we live in America. Not just that, we live in Florida. That's even better. Man, what a great life we've got. God's been so good to us. And yet, we look around and we say, oh, I'm complaining about this, and I don't like that, and I'm miserable about this. Get over it. Guys, we've got it so good. God's been so good to us, and we ought to be counting our blessings instead of naming our complaints. But just remember, when we decide to run away from it, it's always better to face the current struggle. It's always better to rise to the challenge that is before us. And I know some of them are huge, but God has given you the ability to face it. And God will be with you. Look at verse number, where am I now? I'm lost. Look at verse 13. Gideon said, oh, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? Where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Where is God? If God is real, if the stories our fathers told us about are real, where is God now? Where is God for my need? You see, he had fear. He had doubt. He believed in God. He just didn't know if God cared about his situation. Let me assure you, God cares about your situation. Let me assure you, what God did in the days of Egypt and the Exodus, God can do today. God is not limited in what he can do. He can do anything. And so, God does care, and God is still able. That's the part that Gideon was having trouble with. Verse 15, and he said, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh. I'm the least in my father's house. He said, okay, I believe God can, but what's that got to do with me? I understand something. If each of us doesn't rise to the challenge and the calling of God, somebody's not going to get the gospel. If each of us, all of us, doesn't rise, if we don't rise to the challenge and the calling of God, something's not going to get done. How many of you ever worked on a team? How many of you could stand right now, and I'm not going to ask you to do it, but how many of you could stand right now and tell me about a team member that didn't pull their own weight? How many, I don't want you to stand up, but you could say, yeah, I recognize that. Do you understand that God has called us to do our part? Each of us, all of us. And if you don't do your part, or I don't do my part, something's not going to get done. And the world needs what we've got. The world needs to know the Savior. The world needs to hear the gospel. Brother Woody says, you know, half the world hasn't heard a clear presentation of the gospel. But you know, the truth is, we always think about that being in Russia or Ukraine or Africa or Australia or somewhere way out. I'm telling you, there's people right here within the reach of our church, within the boundaries of the farthest church member that lives away from this building. There are people within the circumference of that who have not understood clearly the love of Jesus and the sacrifice on Calvary. Maybe somebody at your job. Maybe your next door neighbor. Maybe a family member. Oh, sure, they all know what religion is, and they understand somewhat of what church is and who God is, but do they know that Jesus died for them? And that God loves them, and that he'll forgive their sins if they will pray in faith and accept Him as their Savior? Or do they think they got to go to church to be saved? Or do they think they have to be baptized to go to heaven? Or do they think they have to give money to be born again? Or do they think they have to do good deeds to get to heaven? Do they understand that God loves them and paid the price, and by faith they can be saved? It's that simple of a challenge. Gideon says, but who am I? I'm nobody. Which is what many of us are saying right now, but who am I? How can I preach? How can I share the gospel? How can I make a difference? Look at verse 14. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might. He says, you've got it within you. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to get a degree. You have it in you. Don't raise your hand, but let me just put it plainly this way. If you are saved, then you know how you got saved. Then you know how everybody else got saved. And you know how to tell everybody how to get saved. I don't mean, well, I walked the aisle. I don't mean that. That wasn't part of it. That's what we call superfluous. In other words, it's unnecessary information. When you got saved, walking the aisle had nothing to do with it. You know what had to do with it? You realize you were a sinner and you asked God to forgive your sins. You put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's how you got saved. Doesn't matter if it was in a tree stand. Doesn't matter if it was in a church house. Doesn't matter if it was at a Bible camp. Doesn't matter. What matters is you prayed and accepted Christ as your Savior. And that's what it takes. This thy might, he says. And thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He said, you can do it. You say, well, I can't save anybody. You can preach the gospel. You can share the gospel. You can share your testimony, and people will know how to get saved. They might say something like this, but at my church, they say this and that. You say, well, what the Bible says is this. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's what the Bible says. I'm not trying to say your church is wrong, but I'm telling you the Bible's right. Sometimes we misunderstand what the church teaches. We better understand what the Bible teaches. Verse 16, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. Thou shalt smite the Midianites. Look at those last three words, as one man. Wow. How are we going to get all these people saved? The Lord told Gideon, it'll be like you did it all by yourself. How many of you ever feel like you're the only one doing it anyway? Cleaning the house, picking up after the kids, paying, whatever it is, working so hard, doing it all by, and you say, well, I'm the only one who does anything around here. Change the toilet paper every time, right? Nobody else knows how to take the trash out, only you. And then the bear comes on TV and says, you're the only one that can prevent forest fires. Like, I didn't have enough to do already. You see, God said, Gideon, it'll be like you did it by yourself. That's how much confidence God has in you. It starts with you getting saved. It starts with you having faith. It starts with you believing. Oh, he had doubts. He had fears. But he believed. God said, Gideon, I'm sending you. You're the one. As one man, we must each take ownership of God's calling. We must each take ownership. We say, my church, my mission. Well, it's the Lord's church. You're right, but you better take ownership in it. Or it'll get to the point where nothing in it matters. My mission, my calling. Well, it's God's calling on you. I know, but he called me and he called you. We better have some ownership. We better take some responsibility. We better be accountable. You have the strength with God's help to fulfill his calling in your life. So what do we do? Well, we're not going to read it for time. Gideon said, well, you know, God, if you really mean it, here's how you can prove it to me. I'm going to lay this mat out, this fleece out on the ground. And when I come out in the morning, if the fleece is full of water from the dew and the ground is dry around it, then I'll know it's you. Y'all ever lay out a fleece? I'll know it's you, Lord, if the dew is only on the fleece. And he came out the next morning. You know what he did? He wrung the dew out of that fleece. It was soaked. He said, well, how can I get out of this? Let's see. Okay, God. He said, I'm not sure it's you yet. Tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to lay that fleece out again tonight. And if the fleece is dry and the ground is wet, then I'll know you're calling me. Hey, let me take you back. The angel of the Lord stood before him behind the wine press that he was using as the threshing floor. The Lord stood there and talked to him, but now he's going to put his confidence in a fleece. The Lord speaks to us through His Holy Spirit. He lays it on our heart. He speaks to us clearly. We understand His will, and then we're going to put our confidence in a fleece. He came out the next day, and the ground was wet, and the fleece was dry. He said, okay, you got me. I'll do it. You can. Look, this is not a humanistic message. This is a message that you understand, that we should understand, that God loves us. He has confidence in us. He's given us a responsibility, a mission, a calling, and we've got to do our part. And you can do your part. You're capable. What would happen if every one of us in here says, yes, God, I know your will. I know your calling. I believe in you, and I believe you can do anything through me. I'm going to go out and do it. What would happen? I tell you, it'd be incredible. Let's stand. Father, draw us to you now. Plant in our hearts your perfect will for our lives. If there's anything amiss in our hearts and our minds, God, put us on track. Draw us in perfect line with your will so we can understand your heart and do it. That we can leave this place on fire, excited about sharing the gospel, sharing our faith, showing our faith. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open. If you want to come and kneel and pray, you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to. Now is your opportunity. Don't let it pass. God, I accept the call. I accept the challenge. I believe. Maybe you've just now realized that you need Jesus. Would you pray from your heart to God right now? You could walk the aisle, but you could do it where you are. God, I know I am a sinner. And I know Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood for me. And I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins and save my soul. God, I give my life to you. I surrender all to you. Would you pray that prayer? All right. Anything before we're dismissed? 6 o'clock tonight, Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Don't forget, this is the last week to get our, is it the last week to get our money in for Walk for Life? All right, so do that. The walk is on Saturday. I know several of you are participating in that. Appreciate that. Worthy goal. I mean, just a simple idea that a baby has a right to live. Isn't that something? All right, $1,200 to save a baby. So keep that in mind and we'll contribute. And how close are you to your goal right now? Where are you? Over the goal? Good. All right, good. She's over the goal. Give anyway. Amen? All right. Don't forget, and Brother Woody's going to stand at the door and shake hands. Answer. I tell you, you want to stand over there or you want to stand over there? I tell you what, if you want to talk to him about the ministry, he'll stand over there by the Bibles And look at that. He said $870 for a roll of paper. All right. And that's also a worthy goal. Get Bibles in the hands of the people. Okay. Anything else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And I'm going to ask you if you would. Brother Bill Sanders, would you dismiss us?